You're with Bruce Whitfield on 702.
702.
I see Naspers is the latest company considering making COVID-19 vaccines mandatory for its South African staff. Discovery, of course, took the first step earlier this month, and I know lots of chief executives privately have expressed to me that they're very keen to make it a rule within their organizations and are exploring the possibility of doing so. So I think we're moving in the right direction on that particular front. Well, the IDC, I mentioned the Industrial Development Corporation a moment ago, long and proud track record of funding successful startups, been taking a lot of strain in the last couple of years, with investee companies taking a huge amount of pain, and increasingly through a slow economy made worse by COVID. Now, the IDC reducing its annual loss to 33 million rand, it says, to strict cash flow management. TP Njotjo is the chief executive of the IDC and is on the line to us from Johannesburg. When you say strict cash flow management, TP, what do you mean by that? Are you being more restrained in the way you're supporting investee companies? What are you doing?
Good evening, Bruce. So what we did was that with the advent of COVID, we had to pay attention to liquidity. So in terms of the incoming side of cash, we spend a lot of time with our customer base, evaluating their state of health, where they could pay. We required them to pay, and indeed our collections were higher than we had budgeted for. And then in terms of the outflows, we ensured that we paid our dues when they became due, our liabilities when they fell due. But we prioritized our investment activities. So a lot of the businesses that could defer their capital expenditure, we had conversations and we said, perhaps you don't have to expand now, maybe expand later. So it was a combination of measures of enhancing their cash inflows, but also very prudently managing the outflows.
I wonder, as you look at your investment decisions, there's a quote, it's attributed to the Intel founder, Andy Grove, and he says, bad companies are destroyed by a crisis, good companies survive them, great companies are improved by a crisis. How many bad companies are you keeping in life support by the with the IDC, which under normal circumstances would die? We've chatted about this in the past, of course, and you've always been very strong about the fact that, you know, you manage these companies very, very carefully, and you're constantly in communication with them. But I wonder whether or not the capital can't be better applied in our economy.
You know what, Bruce? I know that the big ones like Fosco and the steel companies make the headline news. But, you know, on a daily basis, weekly basis, we do lose companies. Companies do fail. We do lose money, write-off amounts of money, be it in the leisure industries, tourism, and chemicals or other manufacturing businesses. But yes, there are companies that we believe, for good reason, by virtue of an institution that we are, we can live with a situation where their return profile is low. Maybe they don't make so much money. I mean, if you talk about Fosco, it is a fact, Bruce, if something wrong were to happen to Fosco, what would happen to the economy of Alaborwa? It is about the only major employer standing there. But are we allowing it to suck the money out of the IDC? No. And as I indicated in today's results presentation, the board has considered a proposal on the table from a strategic equity partner to buy that company, place it in a competent industrial management hands, and over time improve it so that we don't lose it to the economy. So as far as I'm concerned, I cannot account for many decisions of the past, but certainly where I'm sitting today, we are acting to create value, sustain jobs on a sustainable basis, Bruce. So, yes, we have a lot of companies in our portfolio that are doing well, but we also have others that are not doing well, and we do lose them along the way. But others we do have to support and sustain through, for instance, divesting and JVing with partners, like I've just alluded to.
Mm. And I think it's really important, and taking the risk off the balance sheet, of course, is absolutely critical in a difficult time. When you look back 20 years from now, which is going to be your Sasol? When you could look back with some pride and say, you know what, in my time at the IDC, I backed that management team. I backed those guys. Who's going to be your Cecil?
Bruce, I think those kind of stars are still to emerge. I think they are still to emerge probably in new emerging technologies and frontier areas like renewable or cleaner, decarbonized technologies into the future. I think that's where those are going to emerge. And as you know, we have been designated to do some work in the hydrogen economy. We are doing a lot of technical evaluation work. We are doing a lot of market study and scoping work at the moment. We are looking at raw material sources. Where would that be? And we are doing high-order quantification. So that is probably where I think fantastic and, you know, highly imaginative entrepreneurial candidates are likely to emerge from.
But if there isn't a future Sasol in your current portfolio, is the IDC making the right kind of investments?
I believe we are, Bruce. I believe we are. At the moment, I have indicated during our results presentation today that the obvious one being the energy sector, there is going to be a massive transition, as we know. So we are investing in good candidates in that area. In the area of agriculture and agro-processing, Bruce, there are wonderful companies that are trading globally and were very resilient through the COVID period. And we have made investments in those kind of companies. We are going to have to do a lot of adaptation to the automotive industry. You remember recently the European Union has said it's not going to take in by 2030 any old cars still fired by diesel and petrol. So there's a massive adaptation program that has to happen in that regard. We might not be the financier of the OEMs, but we are certainly exposed to a lot of component suppliers. So technology has to come through so that, you know, we still maintain a competitive automotive industry in the long term. So those are the areas that we are picking up, and we believe they are industries of the future.
Thank you to TP Njotjo, Chief Executive of the Industrial Development Corporation, the IDC.